And it's time for another NBAWire.com fast break here on ESPN 700 as we're delighted to welcome in Andy B. Larson from Salt City Hoops right here on ESPN 700 Thursday nights. And, of course, Jazz Insider. He's there all the time, writes for KSL.com as well. Andy, thanks for taking a few minutes to enlighten us and further educate us on all things Jazz.
Hey, no problem. And just so your audience knows, our show this week is actually tonight, Tuesday night.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I wasn't fully throated behind that one because I know that it bounces around. That's got to be somewhat of a pain for you, but you understand the programming and so it's tonight.
Yep, tonight, and it's actually at 8 p.m. because of the Coach Lynn Roberts coaches show at 7. So, okay. Yeah, we're bouncing a little bit, but we know that, you know, ESPN 700 is the home of the youths, and so we're happy to have the home wherever we can have it.
Yeah, well, it's a great show, and I think people who are uber Jazz fans need to be following you and listening because it's good stuff. And, again, I appreciate – I know edgy is kind of maybe has a negative connotation, but I think you're an honest journalist, and you look at them through – you know, you don't have purple glasses. I mean, and I think that's credibility that you see what you see and you say it, and that takes some courage, and I appreciate that. Having said that, I mean, Gordon Hayward has been somewhat tepid, but not lately. And it seems, I don't know if it's Gobert's presence or something, but the light has gone on with him, and this is part of the problem. We see him go 34 and 25, and then we kind of get used to that. And then there's invariably been a fall off after that. So what's different about Gordon now? I mean,
I think it's ultimately the last two games scoring performance has a lot to do with how the teams played him. You know, you look at what Miami did and their defense. You know, Eric Spoelstra has kind of set them up so their defense is very inflexible, right? They kind of do the same thing against every team, pretty much no matter what, unless it's the NBA Finals, and then they'll kind of adjust as necessary. And what the Jazz did was kind of took advantage of the Heat continuously dropping off in the paint, Hassan Whiteside dropping off, and Gordon Hayward just had open mid-range jump shot after open mid-range jump shot. And then the same thing a little bit happened with the Lakers, where they weren't sending two guys to trap Gordon Hayward, and so he got to the rim pretty effectively and again, had some good mid-range looks. He wasn't as efficient scoring against the Lakers Sunday night as he was Saturday night, but overall it was a good weekend for him. I think where we've seen Gordon Hayward not put up those kind of scoring totals, he's getting kind of trapped out of that pick and roll where he's got all of a sudden facing two guys. And he's a smart enough basketball player to know what the right play is, you know, passing the ball to Trevor Booker or Trey Lyles or whoever is open on that kind of 4-on-3 on the rest of the floor. The problem is that those guys aren't necessarily good enough yet in this, either at their stage in the NBA career or for Trevor Booker, he's just, you know, not that good in the short role of finding the open man and making efficient offense out of that set. So it kind of depends to me on what the defense does with regards to Gordon Hayward coming out of a pick and roll or coming out of a dribble handoff and how they handle him defensively. That is the biggest difference in his good nights versus his quote-unquote bad nights.
Right, and that's well said. I think there's I'm not alone in wishing sometimes Gordon would be a little bit more selfish, and I think that's been expressed from the Jazz management as well, that he'd be – you know, more of a factor. Not to say that he's not. He's just so talented. I think sometimes he does the right thing, but that isn't necessarily the right thing for that moment with this team. You know, he needs to sometimes assess where he's going to go, and then maybe it's better that he, you know, force it a little or try to get to the basket to get fouled because, you know, he's going to get calls more than some of the other guys that he's going to dish to. And that's just a fact.
Yeah, and you know, when he's got Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert out on the floor to pass to guys who can kind of make plays out of the role and obviously finish out of the role, then he has a lot better chance of success, and the team has a lot better chance of success. When those guys are replaced with Trey Lyles, Jeff Withey, Trevor Booker, it's pretty easy to defend when those guys have the ball at the top of the key.
Right. Okay, so no structural damage to Derek Favors, but he's out 3 weeks plus with back spasms. The longest back spasms I've ever heard of. I'm imagining he probably tried to go halfway through, and maybe they came back. I mean, I'm imagining that this is something severe because people don't miss this much time with back spasms.
No, you're right. That's pretty much exactly what happened. It looked like about a week and a half ago he was just about ready to go. He participated in shoot around, did a full warm up in practice, and the Jazz kind of decided to hold him off one more night as they were on a back-to-back. And then the next day, they kind of flared up again. We saw, I believe it was last Monday's game, kind of just watching him move in the halls, and he was taking very small steps. It was clear that he was in pain just walking around, and, you know, it's clear that he flared up and wasn't going to be playing again for another week or so. From right. what I hear, he's went through nearly a full warm-up against the Lakers Sunday night. We'll see if he participates in today's practice Tuesday. I kind of suspect that he will based on that trajectory. And I wouldn't be at all surprised actually to see him back either tonight again, or sorry, tomorrow night against Portland or Thursday night.
All right. That's great news. That's some breaking news. Derek Favors on the cusp of returning. And then this team little by little gets better. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you look like they did tread water without, you know, they're missing four of their five starters, and little by little they're getting guys back. Gobert, you know, obviously transcendent player. Favors comes back, and he's become a bit of a beast as well as he's figured his things out in his career. And so, you know, it's interesting to see this team start to get healthy again, and then you can evaluate again, because there were several weeks where it's really hard to really evaluate other than seeing young guys get more minutes. So what do you think their mindset is going forward this season? Because the West suddenly, you know, those middle spots in the playoffs are there for the taking.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think that is their mindset is as people get back healthy, as Derek Favors returns and Alec Burks returns sometime, probably we're looking beginning of March. That this team kind of expects to make a run kind of up the Western Conference standings. And you know, maybe the home court advantage in the first round is probably out of the question, but you look at the standings right now and the fifth seed is not unthinkable. You know, it's right now the Jazz are only 4.5 games out of that fifth seed, and it's Dallas, Memphis, and Houston ahead of them. All of those teams have pretty significant woes of their own. So you look at what the Jazz could do this season, and maybe, you know, that 4-5 matchup would be maybe a winnable one against the Los Angeles Clippers. Obviously, that team has much more playoff experience, but the games between the Clippers and the Jazz have been close for the last few seasons. They're not contenders yet, certainly, and I don't think they're contenders this season, but they absolutely could be a difficult out in the playoffs for one of these teams.
Yeah, and it gives them that, you know, I mean, I'm way over hearing about regular season lessons learned in a blowout loss on the road or a tough loss at home. You know, I don't buy that, but I do buy playoff experience. So you go and you play the Clippers and you go 5 or 6 games, then you're better off the next year from the regular season into the playoffs because your young guys have been through it and the veterans remember a little bit. I just think it's better off. So this fits perfectly into my latest iteration of what's next for the Jazz, and that is this is a little bit of an unexpected turn of events for Dennis Lindsay. So do you stick with what you're going to do? We're going to develop from within. We're not going to, you know, we got all these assets. We got all this money, but we're not going to go get a veteran point guard at the trade deadline, which to me would be, I'm going to say it, it would be not serving your veterans, your young veterans on the team right now. You would not be serving them well. I mean, I know you want to stick with what you have, but if you can improve your team even a little bit, why wouldn't you go for it with what's happened all around you?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd evaluate that if it doesn't cost the team long-term. You know, I don't know that they're willing to give up big long-term assets or, you know, obviously one of their good young players to get a veteran point guard who can help this season, knowing that, you know, even if you end up as a 5 seed, you'd be an underdog to the Clippers, certainly. And if you're a 6 or 8 seed, you know, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to beat the Warriors, Spurs, and Thunder, no matter if you've got a veteran point guard or not, quite frankly. Just because those teams are as talented as they are. So I think, you know, it's hard to read that a little bit. And, of course, you know that the Jazz front office is as quiet as any front office in the league.
Right.
I suspect that they still have the eye on the ultimate prize, you know, 1, 2, 3 seasons down the road of being a contender and building from within and using their long-term assets that way. And so much of it, really, this franchise's long-term outcome in that way depends on what happens with Dante Exum. And right now, we still have no information on how good Dante Exum is. I kind of suspect that they'll wait to make big moves until they figure that piece of it out, whether or not Dante Exum is a superstar or an average starter, because that makes a big difference as to, you know, what the long-term outcome of this team is, whether or not they really are contenders or not.
Right, that's a good point, and I get that. Here's my thought on that. I don't know how improving the team, getting a veteran point guard, and I get that there's a lot of trash out there. You don't want to send assets and money and picks and players for guys who aren't going to be with you, have no chance of growing in your system. You don't like how they play. You know, I liked Jose Calderon to the Knicks, but he doesn't defend at all, so he can't come play here. I get that, but we don't know I don't think the Jazz are going to come back in next November. Exum will have a full go and he'll play 40 minutes. I mean, I imagine they'll yeah. bring him in slowly because he means so much. So again, you won't know till the end of next year, you know, how he fits, if he's great, or I just don't see how it hurts to bring in competition. I just don't get that.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a fair point. It's kind of a question of who's sort of available on the
right. No, and that is the key.
That ends yep. probably this year or next year is what you want. And you know, there are some names. There are kind of some flawed names, to be honest. I mean, we've talked about them before, Tom, with Darren Collison or Drew Holiday.
Yeah,
and you know, those guys would add 2 to 3 wins this season to what the Jazz do for the rest of the year, certainly. And I think that's something that the Jazz would evaluate, picking up those guys. It's just kind of what, say, New Orleans or Sacramento would be asking for those mm-hmm. guys in return. And if it's someone like, say, Alec Burks, the Jazz probably don't want to do it. You know, they have a long-term investment in Alec
sure.
Burks. If it's just, you know, the Golden State first-round pick or an Oklahoma City first-round pick that they got in the Enes Kanter deal, then, yeah, I think the Jazz consider that trade and say, look, we'll be better now. Insurance policy in case Exum doesn't turn out well, and both of those guys are young enough that they could be kind of point guards of the short-term future.
Sure.
So so much of it is also dependent on what those teams are asking for mm-hmm. and their own situation. Sacramento especially is so crazy as to be particularly unpredictable, right? Like
right.
they could make any trade at any time. They could demand everything, or they could just give players away like they did this summer. So it's hard to read.
No, there's no doubt. And I'm looking for the diamond in the rough, the guy that we haven't mentioned, that a team that's falling out of the playoffs or is, you know, upside down with, you know, money and whatever, there would be a guy, and I, you know, I'm not sure who that guy would be. But I would like to think that they're looking, and I'm trusting that they're looking because of the way, especially the way the Western Conference has developed and broken. And I'm thinking that, you know, this idea that you have to protect Exum by not bringing in a talented point guard makes no sense at all, because he's going to have to be better than that guy to be their guy. So,
and there's some sense that, like, he could learn from a veteran
exactly.
point guard if that guy were the right temperament in order to mm-hmm. do that, you know. I think some NBA players would be kind of offended that you're asking them to teach a young guy, and then some of them would be excited to jump at the chance. I mean,
right.
Elton Brand, for example, obviously not a point guard, but just signed with the Philadelphia 76ers at age, whatever, 38, I think, to be a mentor for that team's young guys. There are players who would jump on that opportunity, and I wonder if the Jazz could find someone like that who could also help them in the win column.
Yeah, and it has to be a fit. I mean, that goes mm-hmm. before all of my statements. It has to be a fit, a guy who can defend, a guy who's not, you know, a crazy off-the-court guy. I mean, he has to fit certain criteria to come and play for the Utah Jazz. I get that. But he could come in and not even be openly helping Dante. He could just come in and be the right attitude and play hard, and then Exum can learn from that too. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to teach by example or by, you know, by expression. So we'll see how that develops. So now let's talk about the four-game roadie coming up, where it's Charlotte, the Knicks, Brooklyn, and Washington. Brooklyn and Washington are back-to-back next Friday and Saturday, I believe, a week from now.
Yeah, I'm actually traveling with the team on that trip, so...
So we got to hook up with you. You hear that, Trevor? We got to get Andy B in the program here next week. Okay, good.
Yeah, so... that'll be obviously interesting just to travel with the team and be with them through that road trip. I think you look at that stretch of games, and it's a very winnable stretch of games, especially as, you know, if I said earlier that Derek Favors returned sometime this week. You know, Charlotte's only 12th in the East with a 17-20 record. New York Knicks
are a handful,
decent,
a little bit,
they're,
yeah.
They're still a below 500 team.
Right.
Brooklyn just fired their coach and general manager. They're only 10 of 28. Washington's still below 500. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at that, and that's the bottom of the barrel of the Eastern Conference. That I would say you'd probably take the Jazz in terms of talent all over all four of those teams. So you kind of look at the schedule of the stretch of games in late January, and yes, they're on the road in early February, but it's a real chance for the Jazz to kind of pick up some wins and move up in the Western Conference like we've been talking about.
Right, and you make a great point, because I imagine 2-2 on that trip would be a little bit disappointing. I mean, granted, you know, road games are road games, and sometimes teams, you know, hit the right biorhythm, and they're gonna beat them. Like Charlotte, a little bit up in the air, but that's the first game. I think that's gettable. The Knicks, to me, seems like a problem. The Knicks are pretty good at home, and Porzingis and Melo, and then, you know, the Nets are brutal. You got to win that one, and then you're, you know, at Washington, an up and down team. So I figure 2-2 at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, you would hope so, and you know, that's what it will take. Right? Probably more than 2-2 is what it will take to move up. And I think, again, this Jazz team has enough pride, and they want to kind of show that they're good enough defensively, like they were at the trail end of last season. But I think these games will be difficult for the Jazz, and I don't think that they'll fall into the trap of the New York partying that we've seen from some teams that
right.
may have gotten them in trouble. So I think, yeah, this is a real stretch of games and a real opportunity for the Jazz to make an impact in the standings and move up. That being said, we've said that before, and then the entire team collapsed with injuries in December. So we'll see what happens, but it's an opportunity for sure.
Speaking of opportunities, last question, we've got to let you go. But I did notice that it's Charlotte, and then it's an extended time in the New York City area with the Knicks and then Brooklyn. So good call on you, and then you go to the nation's capital. I mean, this is a good road trip for you.
Yeah, no, in terms of NBA scheduling, that's as good as it gets. You know, I only get to go on one or two trips a year, but this was a no-brainer in terms of being in New York. I'll actually be there for, I believe, 4 days, and then
that's great.
Going to the nation's capital. So, you know, for an NBA schedule, for a road trip, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah, well, congratulations, and we will be tapping into your presence and your knowledge next week. I promise you that. Andy Larson, Jazz Insider, Salt City Hoops. Listen tonight from 8 to 9, right?
8 to 10,
8 to 10, tonight. Sorry. 8 to 10 tonight right here on ESPN 700, Salt City Hoops with Andy and your cast of characters. Great insight. Keep up the good work. At Andy B. Larson on Twitter. And safe travels, and we'll catch up with you on the road. I want to know, we'll talk a little bit about New York. There's some places you got to go, and I want to find out how your downtime goes, because that's a great trip.
Please, yeah. I mean, if you have recommendations, I'm happy to give the review next week on the show.
Okay, good. No, that's a little pressure on me. Thanks, Andy. Keep up the good work.
Sounds good. We'll do.
Okay. Always love checking in with Andy B. Latest NBAWire.com fast break here on ESPN 700.